everybody. Welcome to episode number 57 of the Nitro Heater Beardcast. It is, October 13th, 2011, the year of our Lord, 2011. I just missed Brian. I had to say year of our Lord because he always says that. And I am Wes Gardner. I'm the host this time. We got two of the other regular bearders and then a very special guest that we've actually wanted to get on the Beardcast for years. I mean, I know we talked to this guest about being on in like 2008 and it just statistically couldn't work out, but it's an exciting time. And I'll just introduce, Mark Bradshaw. We got you right over there.
What's up? I'd like to announce that I'm a proud member of the 43% who has never paid income tax in his fucking life. Suck it.
Well done. Congrats.
Because I don't make shit for money. Hey, go ahead.
GG, Mark Bradshaw. And we have Imran Khan right over there.
I'm this week's special guest.
Yeah, the one and only special guest, Imran Khan.
The special guest in our hearts.
That's right. Every week, every guest is a special guest. And the special guest, yes, we have Mr. Ryan Bloom. And if the name sounds familiar, he's a reviews editor and kind of a head honcho over at TSSZnews.com, which is one of the leading Sonic the Hedgehog community sites on the internet. And Ryan, I wanted to call you the Maverick. And the reason why I wanted to do this is because on your YouTube page, okay, someone open up Ryan's YouTube page, the Blaze Hedgehog YouTube feed, and I want you to read some of these comments that you've gotten, because you have a certain, I wouldn't call it a disdain for certain Sonic the Hedgehog games, because, I mean, you're one of the connoisseurs, like, and I say that literally, you know more about Sonic the Hedgehog and the community and the fan base.
And one man should.
Not that one man should, it's just like, yeah. it's admirable, yeah. You know what I mean? But, yeah, it's awesome. But welcome to the show. We've been talking to you to get you on for years and years. I mean, because we always love your work on TSSC News, and yeah, you're kind of a big deal on the old internet. So
doesn't really feel like it's been that long, though. I mean, I know it's been brought up multiple times, but since 2008, really? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we were trying to figure out who we all wanted on the podcast, because Brian was like, we need more than just me and you, because this shit will get boring real quick. And I was like, yeah, it will. And it did. But so we started branching out for people. It only took us a year and a half, you know, like 30 some
odd. You got rid of those other losers. Now you got Blaze Hedgehog. Congrats.
Congrats. Moving on up. But yeah, everyone should go on their browser of choice, which should be Firefox, and go to TSSZnews.com and check it out, because, yeah, it's a very cool website. I mean, every single one of these articles has upwards of like 100 comments. And do you guys have forums? I was looking all around the website, and
Tristan's mentioned putting up forums, but we've never really gotten to that point. Mm-hmm. Because we always figure, well, at least I figure, I don't know about Tristan, but everybody else has kind of their place that they go, and it's not really TSSZ.
Oh.
Like, for that kind of discussion, I guess.
Right, I see. And for those that don't know, Tristan is kind of the creator of TSSZ News. And how long have you been with the website, Ryan?
Well, let's see. Tristan had the site years and years ago, like 2000, 2001. And then he closed it because he actually went to go pursue professional journalistic endeavors. I think he worked, I forget where all he worked, but he was doing video packages for a number of different local news, like programs, you know, nightly news and stuff. And then long about 2007, he decided to relaunch TSSZ again. And I've been with him pretty much since then.
Good deal. Yeah, it is an awesome website. Like, because I'll be frank, I know next to nothing about Sonic the Hedgehog, except that I love Sonic 2 and Sonic 3. That's about my knowledge of the entire franchise. But the cool thing about the site, and I've noticed, is it is very community-driven. And I will admit that on past Beardcasts, we have kind of dogged on some of the Sonic community.
Well, that's pretty fair. Acceptable, yeah.
It's really easy to do. Right. It's cheap content. That's what we like.
Yeah, that's right. It's easy. You know, it makes people angry, so we get listens. It's nice. It's good stuff. But yeah, thanks for joining us. And I know I have a few kind of random questions, and they are kind of oriented on this. I know everyone that's on the Beardcast right now, that all you fine folks are listening to, we're all big fans of Giant Bomb and the way they do content. I'm curious, how is it working in a strictly Sonic dedicated community, like primarily being known for that? Because I know even on Giant Bomb, you have a pretty substantial following. I mean, each one of your blog posts gets, you know, 50, 60 comments by anyone and everyone, and it's kind of a you're usually on the front page of Giant Bomb as a community duder with your blog posts and stuff like that. So, how is it? Do what?
I've been on the front page.
Yeah.
This is news to me.
Yeah, it was a front page. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was last year, like one of the Game of the Year posts you did or something, or where you talked about...
By the way, Giant Bomb probably owes you money.
Right, there you go. Need to bark up that tree. Or at least get on one of the, what is it, the week or the month, the end of month things, the happy hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Get on one of those. That's the ticket. But what is it like, you know, because, I mean, you're kind of commented on a lot on Giant Bomb, but then how is it like actually being in a more dedicated atmosphere, like a Sonic website?
I don't really know how I'd describe it, really, because it's one of those things that never really registers in my mind as being a thing.
Right.
It's just something. I don't know how to explain it, really.
Well, yes, it's something you do. It's like what we do with a podcast. It's like, yeah, we talk sometimes, and we... crack some jokes, and then I look at the feed a day later and it has like 4,000 downloads, and I was like, who are these people that are listening to us go on tangents?
Yeah.
By the way, Ryan, before I forget, I want to point out how much I love your Sonic 2006 is a bad video game video.
That's what the one I was kind of referring to on your YouTube page, man. You got some angry fucking people on that YouTube comment page, and it's so funny to read them.
Well, that's like 300,000 views, and I'm at least 100,000 of those. Because whenever I want to laugh, I just go watch the helicopter box fart.
And, like, it's gaining momentum, too. It seems like as more and more people discover it, I'm getting more and more and more and more angry people that are telling me where I can stick it because I made that video.
Well, yeah, I'm reading the comments right now. One of them just, fuck you.
Like, yeah. Fuck off.
The one below that is... I've completely conquered this game and had no major problems. I even tried all your stupid glitches. Stop complaining about Sonic games, because as Silver says, it's no use. Anyone who calls themselves a fan of Sonic games and then complains about the games is lying. Knock it off. You want to complain about Sonic games? Then stop calling yourself fans. It's that simple. I found nothing wrong with this game.
Nothing wrong?
Not a thing.
It's perfection incarnate.
So, Blaze, I believe you've just been... You received your comeuppance from a real Sonic fan.
From the actual, genuine Sonic fans.
Man, how
does it feel knowing that you probably cater to what might be the most insane group of people on the internet? Maybe, like, God, who is the insane Pokemon dude? The guy
Chris
with his own necklace. Chris Chu?
Chris Chan. Oh, yeah. Chris Chu. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, he might be more insane, like, on just a unique individual level, but, like, overall, the Sonic guys have it beat, and you got to respect that. So how does it feel knowing that all your fans are just completely fucking nuts?
It kind of helps to be a little crazy yourself.
Oh, okay. It's the Batman syndrome. I see what you're saying. You got to...
He's not the reviewer the Sonic fans deserve.
He's what they need. Oh man,
he is on the wall protecting us from the true insanity.
And I do have this one question, and it's kind of one of the $1 million questions that everyone asks anyone who's interested in Sonic, is why does there seem to be this sense of, well, this Sonic game is it, man. This is the one. It's going to open all those fucking doors from my childhood. And then whenever it comes out, and even if it's an okay game, by, you know, the really outspoken parts of the community, it's just lambasted. Like, Sonic the Hedgehog 4 was kind of the best example I can think of. And I think Sonic Generations is going to be kind of better received, but you just never know. I mean, with these games, you just do not know. They can look great. You see a video and it's Sonic giving the thumbs up. And you're like, all right, man, I remember him. And then, like, it comes out and it gets 3 out of 10 from everywhere. And you're like, oh, great. Well, here's this again.
Oh, that's right. Sega made it. That's right.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Well, as much as I hate to reference it, it's the Sonic cycle, you know? You see an early image of just Sonic and it's a colorful environment and you're like, wow, I remember that. That was awesome. And then as the media cycle keeps going, you learn more and more and more and more about this game. And you learn that there's 12 playable characters that turn into a werewolf. You wield a sword, and it's just like, what are you doing? Why is this Sonic?
So
Sonic doesn't need a sword?
See, when you think about it, when those mascot platformers go the wrong way, it's usually because they add something to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like, when Mario succeeds, it's because they put Mario in a different environment. When he doesn't succeed, it's because they put something on Mario.
Yeah,
like a jetpack.
Yeah.
Filled with water. Because fire scares the kids.
I'm not sure they're going to, like, that was the whole reason they didn't give Mario a flamethrower. Because it scared the kids.
Probably it's like, oh no, he's killing them.
Fuck you. If Mario had a flamethrower, I'd play Mario games.
See, and they missed so many dumb marketing opportunities, like get in touch with, like, the Super Soaker people and just make a remake of that. You see what I'm saying? That would have been rad, but nope.
The thing that gets me about the Sonic games, well, practically everything since Sega made, like, Sonic Adventure, if they would just make the Sonic, they just make a Sonic game, if they just make the other bullshit video game that they clearly wanted to make instead of that Sonic game, they probably would have had a decent video game out of both of them.
Yeah.
But because they want to combine both of those things in one fucking game, everyone hates it.
It's like, why doesn't Billy Hatcher get a machine gun? You know what I mean? Like, why was Sonic the one that they're going to do all their experimentation with?
Well, if you listen to the rumors, it's because Sega kind of forces them to.
Sega doesn't want them to make just a straight Sonic 3D platformer.
Well, it's not that so much. It's that they want to make other games, but Sega's saying, no, you have to make a Sonic game.
Okay.
Whatever crazy idea you have, make it fit within the Sonic parameters.
Ugh.
Apparently these things still sell well, because, like, every year the Sonic team comes up with a new bullshit Sonic game.
Yeah.
So apparently sell well enough, right? I mean,
I guess so. They must be, like, Sega's cash cow at this point.
Right.
Yeah. Practically their only cash cow, except for me.
It's, like, I think Sega's kind of stuck, because they have a new Sonic audience that does not give a shit. Like that guy whose quote I just read on Blaze's YouTube video. They have an audience that will not care what the quality of the game is as long as it has their favorite characters.
Yeah.
And then they have the audience that will, like... Yeah. They have the audience that will bitch and moan regardless of how good the game could be. So there's no pleasing both audiences. So they're just going to go with the ones that don't care about quality.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean... And it's one of those things that that's not unique to just Sonic fans, I think. Because I can tell you, I fell for something like this is... I still enjoy Final Fantasy for some bizarre reason. I don't know why. And I got a Duodecim, the Final Fantasy Dissidia. And I was like, yeah, this will be a lot of fun. And then I started playing, and I was like, oh, I remember all these people. Like, it was exactly the same thing. And then I took a step back, and I was like, oh, man, what am I doing? And then I kept playing. I don't know.
Well, I sympathize because I'm like, maybe I should buy Final Fantasy 13 too. I don't think I'll be playing anything else in January. Despite all of those other games coming out in January.
Right, despite all the heavy hitters that are all 120 hours.
Maybe you'll get this one right. So I did that. Speaking of Final Fantasy, it's weird because I did the exact same thing with Final Fantasy XII. I started looking at the... Because that was the last PS2 one, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. So I started seeing media for it. I said, wow, I remember Final Fantasy. I love Final Fantasy VI. Maybe they'll get it right this time because this looks like some really great art. Nah. Yeah.
Actually looking forward to Generations. Like, I bought the CD key for the Steam version. So I'm hoping that one's going to be the one that they actually get right.
Right.
Because they hit my nostalgia buttons just right, because my favorite level in the entire series is Sky Sanctuary from Sonic & Knuckles.
Yep. Well, we've only seen Sonic so far, right?
Well, that's kind of all that's in there, playable-wise, anyway.
Yeah, he has boss fights. They showed a Sonic 2006 level with Silver.
Yeah. And a Sonic Adventure 2 level with Shadow.
Yeah. Well,
that was leaked, but, you know.
As long as we get to beat them up and don't have to play as them, I feel like I'm okay with that.
it's the whole...
That's incredible because, you know, that's how, like, Sonic 3 was. That's where Knuckles was revealed. He was just the dragon, right? So you didn't actually play as him, so it wasn't as bad.
See, that was the theory I've heard about why everyone is revolted by newer Sonic characters is because they fit roles that aren't meant to be there. Like, when at the end of Sonic & Knuckles 3, end of Sonic & Knuckles, you have the main character, his sidekick, his love interest, the villain, and a rival. Then you start adding more rivals, time characters, you know, a bat with
sexy
tits.
Bat.
Oh.
And it starts getting way too muddled, and this point where, like, that muddling becomes actual revulsion.
Yeah. Because, I mean, when you think about a character like Shadow the Hedgehog, he's already encroaching on territory that two other characters before him took, you know, were, basically.
Right.
Like Knuckles and...
Knuckles and Metal Sonic. Basically what Shadow is combined.
He's a hybrid.
Yeah.
With attitude and guns.
Yep. Yeah.
And he swears.
Does he have attitude or does he have emo? Because I think that's the new attitude, right?
He has a little bit of both. He's smoldering.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point, because he always does that look at the camera and then something behind him blows up.
There was a point when I think Sonic Heroes, and this is like the moment where I went, God damn it, fuck Sonic games, was where Sonic and Shadow have dialogue, and Sonic says, I've got a date with Eggman, and Shadow says, it'll be a date to die for, and then they fight, and I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Just turned into Highlander, man. That's what happened.
Like, none of that dialogue made sense. It was just two separate lines. Like, they weren't thinking about it to each other.
And you think about the dialogue. Why is he fighting Sonic if he knows he can't stop Sonic? Just go ahead and let him fight Eggman. What the hell? Just let him go. Obviously, you're fine with that.
I think my favorite recent memory about Sonic the Hedgehog is I was like, oh, I wonder what's happening in Sonic the Hedgehog universe whenever we were talking about it on one of the old Beardcasts. So I Google image search, which is probably a bad idea. Sonic the Hedgehog, but it didn't get perverted. All I saw was a picture of a crocodile with ski goggles on. And I was like, who is this? Who is that? I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, that's not Sonic at all. But I guess he's a rival.
Crocodile.
Yeah, like, when did that become a thing? You know, like, when did he just pop up? Isn't he in the racing game?
Probably. I mean, they just sort of dig up whoever and throw in there.
Yeah.
Vector's been around for kind of a long time, though. I mean, if you look up concept art for the original Sega Genesis Sonic the Hedgehog game, he's in there. They just took him out and kind of left him on a shelf somewhere for like a decade.
Think of what could have been, man. With fucking, what's his name?
Vector?
Vector the Crocodile. Think about the legends that would have happened, man. You got Sonic.
See, but, like, Sonic suffers from a lot of the same things The Simpsons suffers from. Because I remember seeing, like, even in the 15th anniversary, they were saying, oh, The Simpsons has 150 characters now that we can pull out whenever we want. Like, no, you don't need to have 150 Simpsons characters. You need to have, like, that core group that's really funny.
Yeah, the 20 that actually are hilarious.
Yeah, you don't need 11 kids for Apu. And you don't need, like, 9 Sonic rivals.
Yeah, getting 11 kids for Apu is just the joke. Like, that's just the joke. Like, oh, he had 11 kids, huh?
And the sad thing is, like, that's the same joke they had for the redneck family in The Simpsons, that they had 87 kids, so.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to Generations, but there's a part of my mind that's going, you know, maybe it will be shit. You're going to be fooled again.
Well, I don't blame you.
Well, and here's a genuine question. Do you think if... Because the way that the industry has changed and the way that, you know, YouTube's now a thing and, you know, people can be cynical for no good reason. Do you think if we ever did get that Sonic game, the one people have been clamoring for years and years, would people would people even realize it? Would people, you know what I mean?
I think it's going to need another generation of gestation before, like, incrementally better games before it actually hits that moment where, like, wow – now Sonic is actually back. Now he's the equivalent of Mario or...
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another mascot-based platformer now.
Crash Bandicoot?
Maybe. I don't think Sonic wants to be equivalent to modern Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
Well, let's say that they were even equivalent to, like, Sly Cooper. I think they'd be happy with that, right?
Yeah, that would be...
The PlayStation's charm over it. Like, yeah, that'd be great. But what they need to do is just pull away from... I'm going to talk on my ass here because I haven't really kept up with this. But it seems like to me that the thing they need to do is just pull away from Sonic Team and go to, like, a team like Treasure or a team like Platinum and say, you know, try it, see what you can give us.
Well, supposedly, after the whole disaster that was Sonic 2006, Sega's never really come out and said it specifically, but they restructured all of Sonic Team and basically hired in a bunch of people out of college, and those are basically the new Sonic Team.
Hmm.
And the Sonics, they've come after it, and of course it's difficult to be of lesser quality than 2K6, but they've been significantly better than 2K6, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's where we get Sonic 4, right?
That's where we started getting Sonic Unleashed, which I really liked, but right. Apparently not that many people did, but that's fine.
You guys watched me play the Wii version over the weekend, or at least enough of the Wii version I could stand. That wasn't fun at all.
Yeah, I don't really know what was going on with the Wii version. Because you think of IGN's reviews and Joystick, Destructoid, etc. They all said the Wii version was better than the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 versions, and it's really not.
It was like it was about 30 minutes of point and clicking, and then another 30 minutes of werewolf stuff.
Oh, it felt like a lot longer than 30 minutes.
Which team gave us the Black Knight Sonic game? Because that seemed like... the recent things, that seems like the most... Like, what the fuck did you guys think?
Well, see, what Sonic Team is these days is actually kind of muddled. There's supposedly Sonic Team, and then there's the Storybook Team, which did Secret Rings and Black Knight and maybe Sonic Colors. And then there's Dimps, which is kind of a third-party developer that Sega goes to for stuff like Sonic Rush, Sonic 4.
But people like Dimps, right?
Dimps mostly does outsourcing work. Like, they did the actual programming on Super Street Fighter 4.
Yeah. And they do, like, Dragon Ball Z games and...
Yeah. Basically, when you have a group of designers, but you don't necessarily have the manpower to make the game, Dimps is the kind of developer you go to.
Oh, right.
So, technically, I guess Black Knight would be the Storybook Team, but I'm not entirely 100% sure on who does what these days.
Did Storybook Team do Colors?
Maybe.
That's what I've always been confused about, because, like, it seems like the timing would have been right for that. But it's also much better than Secret Rings and Black Knight.
I've heard conflicting things about who did Colors, so I don't know.
Hmm.
Is this like a Call of Duty thing where like they hand it off to like different like developers every other year?
Kind of. It's more divided up based on platform. Like Dimps will always do the DS games. So they're handling Sonic Generations for the 3DS right now.
Right, and it's like no mistake that like the ones everyone likes are the 2D DS games.
Usually. For the most part, yeah.
You'd be surprised. I see a lot of people like they say they hate the Sonic Rush games.
Really?
Because they feel like it's just 3D Sonic locked to a 2D plane.
Okay.
Well, I've never really heard that one before. I've heard a lot of people complain about the music and the fact that they're basically almost scripted games sometimes.
Yeah.
But. That's also kind of like 3D Sonic these days.
Yeah. Like, I liked the first game well enough. The music I especially liked. It was Hideki Naguma, I think.
Yeah.
The Jet Set Radio guy.
Yeah.
And except for a few exceptions when the game essentially fucked you in terms of enemy and ditch placement, especially in one of those later levels, which is mostly, like, hang gliding.
Oh, that's
the game was mostly fair.
Yeah, I always say that Sonic Rush is a more fun game on the second time around once you've kind of gotten a feel for the levels and you know where jumps are, where pits are, things like that, because the game can at times not be clear about where a pit is.
Yeah, and Rush Adventure wasn't that bad. except that it asked me to keep going back to the old levels to collect stuff, which I don't feel was entirely necessary.
That didn't really bother me so much. I think I like Rush Adventure more than the original Sonic Rush.
Yeah. It's
got better level design.
It also had that terrible raccoon character, but at least it never made it to other games.
What was his name?
She was throwing that one fucking guy.
Yeah, what was his name?
It was a little girl. I can't remember her name, but she had a Australian accent.
Marine.
Yeah.
See, this is, I think, where they went wrong. They should keep the alliteration. Like, if you have a raccoon,
yeah.
Ricky Raccoon.
Yeah, I was about to say no Ricky, or if it's a girl, it'd be like...
Rita.
Rhiannon.
Rhianna Raccoon.
Rhianna Raccoon.
Yeah. Sonic just punches her out all the time.
Yeah. Singer! Hey! Tip your wait staff. I'm going to be berated for the rest of the podcast for this, but I say this in all due confidence. Probably my favorite recent, well, somewhat recent Sonic game is the BioWare, the Dark Brotherhood RPG, whatever it was called.
Yeah, it was the Dark Brotherhood. That's not a bad game, but there are a lot of better RPGs on the DS.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
It's just fucking weird that BioWare did that game.
Well, that's not it. That's why I love it so much. I was like, this is so bizarre. They did Jade Empire, which was a one-off and didn't make them money, so they're like, well, let's do Sonic.
It's not like BioWare needs to pay the bills. So, like, they got checks from E. Well, I guess this is before the EA contract. So maybe
like right
sense.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's really
the weirdest thing about that game is that, like, I've heard some tracks from on YouTube for the music, and it literally sounds like somebody tried to take old Sonic music and reproduce it with like a MIDI sequencer.
Yeah, that's pretty much. It's all kind of remixed and relayered and.
And all the sound effects are like stock Looney Tunes sound effects.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. Like, the whole thing just—it's like a haze as you're playing it. You're like, oh, where am I?
I just wonder what the development process of that was. Did like BioWare approach Sega and say, you know what, we want to make a Sonic the Hedgehog RPG? We know we got all this other stuff that to actually make good RPGs that Sega has a catalog of. You know what? We want Sonic. Or did Sega decide, you know
right.
what? We need to branch out Sonic into an RPG
and both
by
of them,
a Western developer.
Both of them are believable. Like, I can believe any of those situations happened. And I know if BioWare called up, you know, Sega and was like, listen, guys, we have this idea for a Sonic RPG. Then the CEOs and the people listening to the conference call just, like, look at one another like, what the fuck? Like, what? Really? Okay, sure.
Apparently, I don't know how you say his name, Ray Muzyka?
Muzyka, I think.
Yeah, Muzyka.
Apparently, he's a super huge Sonic fan and has like a Sega Genesis autographed
this explains
by Yuji Naka.
So much.
That is the only possible explanation because you look at Sega's catalog and say, "Well, you got Shining Force over here. We haven't done anything like decent with forever. Fantasy Star. Everybody wants a Fantasy Star game. We make a you know we're really good at this sci-fi stuff. Sonic. Yeah. Yeah. All right."
See, that just gives you the mental image of them, like, struggling to think, like, the word, like, Sonic.
Rystar? Has anybody tried the Rystar games yet? No. Vectorman? No. Sonic? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was that really bad PlayStation 2 Vectorman game they were going to make.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Halo-style reboot.
Was that, like, by environments?
Was that by Radical Entertainment,
yep.
I think?
I think
that's what
right.
It was like by Western developer.
Right. I never actually understood the appeal of Vector Man. Like, even on the Genesis, like, the graphics looked interesting, but, like, I didn't... I thought the game was too hard.
Yeah, exactly. It was super tough.
As Sega guys, you really pine for, like... I know Sega eventually got a Contra game, but we wanted more fucking Contra games, so... We got Vector Man, so we're happy
with
that.
I like the first Vector Man game. It was 2 where it started to go off the rails.
Yeah.
Well, thank God they only made the 2 of them.
Yeah.
Right. They were just losing their minds right at the end.
Well, Vector Man 2 was also one of those weird Genesis games that came out like after the Saturn launched, and you're like, what is this doing here?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why was this also not a launch title?
Well, it's also that era where like everybody's thing is the rendered sprites were the way to go, and the Donkey Kong Country came and said, "Oh, these things look amazing." Well, Sega comes out and says, "We're going to do our own rendered sprites game," and it turns out it's just a dude who's made out of spheres.
Yes.
And Sonic 3D Blast.
Thanks, guys, for Sonic 3D Blast. That Sonic 3D Blast for the Genesis wasn't as bad. It was the Saturn version that was truly depressing, because you know you were waiting for your Mario 64 answer, right? As a Sega guy, I was.
Yeah.
We're gonna have this Sonic Jam. It's gonna be great. But before we get there, we're gonna 3D Blast. I was like, all right, 3D. And the reason it's 3D is because it's a fucking isometric game.
Well, yeah. Sonic 3D Blast was actually kind of damaged control after Sonic Extreme tanked.
Okay, so Sonic Extreme. Sonic Jam was the compilation that had Sonic Extreme. Okay.
Jam was pretty cool. I'm surprised they never actually made a game in that 3D part.
Well, supposedly that was the prototype for what eventually went on to become Sonic Adventure.
Hmm. That actually makes sense.
Did they say why they didn't do anything with Extreme? Was it just, like, costing them too much money and they didn't feel like they could complete it? Or was there a story behind that?
Oh, there's a big, long story behind that. Okay. Apparently, it started its life as a Sega Genesis game. Beautiful. And then it got moved to the 32X.
Awesome.
And then it got moved to the Saturn, where they were told that they had to have the game out by Christmas that year.
Oh, God.
One of the programmers worked himself almost to death. Like, literally, he was in the hospital for working on this game, like, 18, 20 hours a day.
God damn.
Yeah.
Now, is this before or after, like, Mario 64? They knew Mario 64 was in the pipe? Or was there a reason they had to do it before Christmas?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it was Christmas 96, so that was Mario 64 around that time.
Okay. Okay, so they had to have their Mario 64 answer.
Yeah. Right. And the only other thing they had was Knights from Sonic Team, which, while a good game, is not exactly the kind of thing you can put up against Super Mario 64 and say, here's our answer.
Yeah, it's a little bit...
Listen, they tried.
Yeah, it's too eclectic. I mean, it's a much different game, but... Mm-hmm. Like, the quality of it was super good. I mean, that's...
Knights was that one of those games that, like, as someone who owned a Genesis but didn't own a Saturn... That's the kind of game you missed from Sega.
Yeah.
Like, that spark of creativity that you didn't really get from PlayStation games.
For sure.
Though I think you can probably blame the complete death of Saturn on Bernie Stolar.
A lot of things you can blame Bernie Stolar on.
One of my friends is telling me a story that once he wrote a scathing article about Bernie Stolar, and on his way home, he noticed Stolar was, like, driving really close behind him.
I wonder what kind of car Bernie Stolar drove. He probably, like a Ford Tempo or some shit, because it's so incredibly cheap and lame.
Well, he was a company president. He probably drove something good.
I don't know. I think he'd drive something lame because he was an incredibly lame human being.
Yuji Naka could afford a Ferrari.
Sure.
Not anymore.
It's usually fucking Naka. Ferrari probably gave him a car. I said, thank you.
Oh, wait. Bernie Stolar was a guy that didn't want Grandia to come over here, right?
Yep.
Fuck that guy.
There was a ton of stuff that he killed because he wanted to kill the Saturn as quickly as possible to get the Dreamcast out.
Yeah, he was trying to force Sega of Japan's hand, which you know that's a mark of a healthy company right there.
Yeah.
Yep. Sega of America versus Sega of Japan was always kind of a messy business. Yeah.
That's how we wound up with, like, the 32X that Sega of Japan absolutely did not want.
And it seems really bizarre because it seems like they haven't kind of learned their lesson on that, about the communication barrier between Sega of Japan and Sega of America. Like, even the Twitter stuff. If you follow them on Twitter, you'll get two completely separate announcements. And then the Sega of America will be like, actually, you know, that time we said this, we were kidding. Look out for news soon.
Well, when they said Valkyria Chronicles 3 was not coming to America, that's a good example of how Sega of Japan and Sega of America don't communicate.
Right.
Because anybody with half a brain could tell you, don't make a PSP game right now.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
The Vita's coming out, you're not going to be able to release this in America. It's not something you can do. But of course, Sega of Japan's like, PSP's big, Monster Hunter... Sugoi big time.
Yeah.
So how they make Valkyria 3.
With the loss of like Sega's like hardware division, how much power could Sega of America possibly hold to begin with at this point?
I don't know, man. They publish a lot of shit.
They do. They're pretty decent publishers, all things considered.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, what was it? About a year ago, Sega of America, either Sega of Japan or Sega of America announced that they'd become basically almost like a skeleton company and just do downloadable stuff from here on out.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And that didn't actually pan out.
Yeah.
Well, I think Sonic 4 was supposed to be the big breakthrough for them on that one.
Yeah.
And that just kind of petered out.
Yeah, fizzled.
What I didn't understand about Sonic 4, they released Sonic 4, and everybody's like, okay, they're going this episodic thing, but we're getting the 2D Sega in HD, so that's kind of good. But around the same time they started putting out hints of Generations. And it's like, why should I put up with the Sonic 4 bullshit when I have to pay like $600 to get it finished? I can just play Sonic Generations, which looks to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If the rumors are true, then supposedly Sonic 4 started as Sonic iPhone.
Yeah, okay. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, and then somebody just said, make this Sonic 4, release it as Sonic 4 on all systems.
And they forgot to get rid of the minecart level of video before it went to public.
Oh, God.
I never played the finished version. Was that actually in the final one?
Kind of, but it's not motion controlled anymore.
Ah.
All you do is press the jump button when it tells you to.
Gravy. That's right.
That's
kind of the way I want. But it's kind of sad because, like, everything like Sonic, I keep confusing Sonic and Sega, but everything Sega has done to Sonic.
So do they.
Yeah.
Since
Adventure. Yeah. Since Adventure, basically since the end of Dreamcast, has basically convinced me I don't want this version of Sega to work on any of these old games that I loved before. Because before I'd be like, oh man, Shining Force, if they can just do another Shining Force, it'd be fucking great. If they do another another Fantasy Star, it'd be fucking great. And I look at it and say, please don't touch my memories, you asshole. Right. So you ruin it.
Yeah, because even the most recent Shining Force, what was it, EXA for the PS2? That was a good game. Like, that was actually, it was.
Well, the next Shining Force supposedly has the Valkyria battle system, which is a good idea for it.
Yeah.
But it's on PSP, so
right.
We'll never
not going to see it here.
Right.
Unless, I don't know if the odds of them putting like on PSN and just make it like a straight like PSN, PS3, right. Vita.
That's release. What they needed to do for Valkyria Chronicles 3, man.
Make a lot of sense. I mean, so they're going to lose $40 that they would have not made in America ever, or they can get the $10 that they can make conceivably putting on PSN.
Mm-hmm. They just need to come out with the freaking, because, okay, we can play PSP minis, and I mean, granted, those aren't the most difficult things to emulate in the world, but they just need to come out with a standard, now that PSP is dead, and I think the Vita will do okay, but it's not going to outsell anything Nintendo does. Why do they just not make an emulator? That way they can still sell games on the PlayStation 3 to play on, or play your PSP games on PlayStation 3.
I thought that was the idea.
There was a thing wrapped in one of the firmware updates that was basically a PSP emulator that's so incomplete that homebrew people couldn't unlock it.
Right. Oh, wow.
But at one point, I guess they were toying around with the idea of, and I suppose that was actually what became of the PSP transfer program, like the stuff that puts Monster Hunter and Peace Walker and all that as PS3 games. But I guess they figured they would be biting off their own knees if they put an actual PSP emulator there.
Yeah, because then they just wouldn't sell the unit, but they would actually sell games.
I bet it was because they didn't think Monster Hunter, like they didn't foresee that being such a huge success. Because that didn't blow up until the PSP, and once you start making those versions on the PS3, the PSP is basically dead. Which is why they did that now instead of 2 years ago.
Right. Which I can definitely see that, for sure. I mean, make your big grand swan song on the emulator be Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But just the fact that they have it there, and hell, if they're now selling me PlayStation 2 games on the PSN, there is no freaking reason why that thing can't emulate any PSP game. And I say that because the PSP library is fantastic. I have some of my favorite games from this era are on PSP.
Oh, yeah. It's my understanding that most, if not all, PSP games, you know, to be compatible with the Go are already being sold online, right?
Correct.
So it's not like they just can't put the stupid thing on PSN.
Correct.
And just,
yeah.
The pipeline is there. So why throw away the money?
Right. And they even put something on there. I think it's on the Japanese store. I don't know if it's on the American store yet. To where you can use your PlayStation 3 to send out a basically an internet signal, so you can play stuff like Monster Hunter online without having to go online.
Yeah, I forget the name for that, it's basically I remember it was nicknamed the $600 Sony router before.
Right. Yeah, so basically you can play your local PSP multiplayer games online with people. It's just basically a tunneling, but it's official Sony product. Like, they did it. So if you're going to do that, like, that is... That's very specific. You know what I mean? That's a very specific thing. Why not just get the emulator on there and then just use that built in?
Because then they couldn't sell us, like, Peace Walker for $40 2 years later.
Sure they could. Because then you could actually do it with physical online. Well, I mean, right. Peace Walker is a bad example because it did have physical online. But,
right.
But yeah, like, they could sell it like that because people would pay a premium to play it on their big fucking TV, not even up-resed. I wouldn't even want it up-resed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just... Sure, it might look kind of weird, but...
Yeah. I deal with it.
Yeah, for sure.
See, it's weird because Sony is a strange company when it comes to this sort of thing. Like, they will happily give you a TV out for the PSP, but when the Vita comes along with the idea that, oh, it doesn't matter where you have these games, you can play them on your PS or your Vita or your PS3, they won't give you an HDMI out, which seems like the simplest thing.
Yeah.
And they have this big, beautiful screen that can put high-resolution graphics, so you know that it will upscreen nicely to a big screen. Right. Nah, fuck it. Of course, that's probably on the next revision, so maybe they're doing that Apple thing.
Yeah.
The Vita 2000.
Right.
And I know there's going to be Vita 2000, but I'm still considering buying one anyway.
Don't buy first-revision hardware. This is dumb. We know this now.
Launches are fun.
They are. Launches are fun. Pretty fun.
I admit, I bought my 360 like during the launch window because of whatever god for sake of stupid.
Probably for Oblivion. Yeah, that's exactly the reason I did it.
I think it was for Project Gotham 3.
Yeah, I think Oblivion came out 6 months later.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There was their launch window consisted of like Gotham, one other. The two rare games. Which were awful because we didn't realize Rare was had completely fallen off the table by that point. And like 2 months later, we got the DOA 4, and then 2 months later, we got Oblivion. And so we had to convince ourselves this is a good launch. So that was fun. I don't think you can do that anymore. Sony's got to have like a ton of stuff for the American launch, otherwise they're fucked.
Right.
See, launch systems generally, like, they may not have a lot of games, but I'm always more receptive to new stuff right then than I'd otherwise be.
Oh, for sure.
Like, Yeah. When I bought the DS, there was shit for the first year. But one of the things, because I wanted something to play, I imported a game called Oendon, and that ended up becoming one of my favorite games on the system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think, like, that's one of the reasons I hope with every new system, like, there's going to be some crazy shit that no one else is going to pay attention to in a year. But right now, this is going to be, like, incredibly fun, which is why I'm considering... I bought a 3DS at launch, and why I'm considering getting a Vita at launch as well.
Yeah, man.
Because who knows if, like, Dragon's Crown is going to be, like, the best game no one's ever heard of.
Right, exactly. Well, that's how, on the 3DS launch, that's how the Ghost Recon game is. The Ghost Recon game's fantastic.
Now, am I mistaken, or, like, all the Vita games are going to be sold on PSN and playable through the PlayStation 3? Have they said that, or is just...
They're not going to be playable through PlayStation 3, I don't think.
Correct, right.
You can get them on PSN, but they'll only be able to be played on the Vita.
Correct, yeah, because that's how PSP games work right now. Basically, you can download it from the store, you can buy it whenever they have sales, and then it just goes on your PS3 hard drive, and then you just use the USB transfer cable, and then it authenticates your PSP, and then you just put it on there through the USB cable. But yeah, like, and okay, what was this news article you brought up before we go to break about that it might not play PlayStation 1 classics for some reason?
It's just something that's caught off of joystick. Apparently, they were saying that they wanted a way to get like UMD owners to like be able to get their games. Mm-hmm. So they're looking into a way to do that. So God only knows what exactly that means.
Right.
Without, like, physically sending in your copy to the store and then them authenticating it and...
That might be...
giving you the download code.
Yeah, that might
be... Yeah, that's supposedly what they're doing is that, like, the theory tossed around is you can take your UMDs to a store, trade them in, then they'll give you a download code for a discount.
What?
So if I traded in Mega Man X Maverick Hunter...
Okay.
And let's say they take it for about... They just take the UMD and they give me a code for a, I'm not sure how much this is on PSN, let's say $30, and they give me a code for $25 or $20 or $15 or whatever for Maverick Hunter X on PSN.
But that's not to say Maverick Hunter X will be available on the store that you can download it.
Yeah, I actually have no idea, but that's just, that was the only PSP game I could think of at the moment.
Right, well, it is on there, but yeah, that's super bizarre that. Because, yeah, you can't send them your proof of purchase. You can't be like, well, here's the UPC code. Like, I'm going to send in my, you know.
Don't they just need to just admit, you know what? We didn't make jack shit off PSP games. Here's the whole fucking library. Just have at it, you assholes.
Just go on the honest
right, yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Whatever. It's not going to work.
That'd be a good incentive for PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That actually would be. If they did it, like, for each month you get 15 free PSP games.
15 trade-ins. That would be a smart way to do it.
Yeah. For full amount. Only if you have PlayStation Plus. Interesting.
Actually, I'm reading... this is horrible FX, but I'm reading the actual joystick article right now. It says, the bad news, the fact says the Vita will play all downloaded PSP games, except for Game Archives, which is the Japanese cable for PS1 classics, Neo Geo games, and the other retro downloads. So all that awesome like retro stuff like Symphony of the Night and shit like that might not be playable on the Vita.
See, but I'm not understanding why that would be, like, a thing.
Yeah.
Because that emulator should be hard-coded into that firmware by now.
Oh, for sure.
It's not like PS1 emulators are particularly difficult to... Because they did it on the PSP, they have one on the PS3.
Yeah.
It seems unlikely that Sony would drop the ball on that sort of thing.
Right. Or you could do it like they did with the PS2, where they just put, like, the PS1 chip inside the PS2 doing some kind of bullshit like sound duties.
Right.
Just put it in there.
But the only reason they've done stuff like this before is because they think they can make money on it elsewhere.
Yeah.
But this doesn't make any sense because if it can't play it, you can't sell it.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. It's like, where are they going to try to make this money and what does it do? Like, well, pay for $40, you can play all your PS1 classics. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And then you're just asking for people to pirate all of it and hack their systems, which they're probably arguably going to do anyway.
No, man. They'll have this one.
Oh yeah,
totally have this one locked down. There's no way that those stinking pirates will crack this one. They're gonna make a
top men on the case.
Yes, sir.
I guarantee you, if it gets cracked, and by if I mean when,
yeah,
it's going to be because of Sony's proprietary memory card.
Yeah,
yeah. Like I'm sure that's the Achilles heel, and it's going to be a kind of justice Achilles heel.
Yeah,
because fuck them for that proprietary memory card.
Because they apparently didn't learn their lesson with, like, the 14 varieties of memory sticks that they tried to produce. Yeah, we just can't use SD cards, and fuck you, we're just going to use our own shit.
I do wonder if they're going to go the same path to the PlayStation 4, like the hidden cost path. Like, everyone celebrated the Vita's $250 price. It looks less good now, but the bigger problem is a lot of that stuff isn't cheap.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, they still haven't just straight up said game prices. If it's over $40, it's suicide. They haven't, like, really straight up said memory prices, but if it's like Japan, it's going to be way more expensive than equivalent SD cards.
Well, then again, I mean, even, like, Sony's, like, memory card stuff, like, companies like Canon and third-party companies managed to come out with knockoffs. So it stands to reason that, I don't know, unless it's just a completely closed format and Sony's the only people who can ever produce these things.
Well, I mean, it's going to be like, I give it 6 months before SanDisk makes a memory card adapter.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what I have on my PSP. I just have like a little shell that an SD card slides into.
Like a little mini SD card just pop right in there. Be done with it. It's just, you know, they're really making it. All they need is like proprietary, just get like 8 gigs of storage on the damn thing. How much could that possibly cost this day and age?
According to Sony, about $40.
So there you go. Just, put that in there.
$40 for you, the consumer. For them, probably much less.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
They're like, their 3G contracts, like, that they revealed in America, is going to be a 20 meg download cap.
That's standard for 3G, though, I think.
That is standard for 3G, but we're looking at a handheld system, not a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like iOS developers have to, they have to make their games fit on that 20 meg. Yeah. So there's no way they can actually sell games through that.
It's limiting without a need to be limiting.
Right.
Which the 3G SKU now seems really, like, who would buy that?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I guess you could go online with it, but
if you have a Vita, you have a nice phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But will you be playing online with this thing?
Probably not.
Yeah. Probably. I can't remember. I think literally the last time I played an online PSP game was Peace Walker. Well,
that's different from like America and Japan, because the Japanese play online with their 3G stuff constantly, with like Monster Hunter and stuff. So.
Yeah, unless they make some sort of, kind of how EA is doing Battlefield 3, how they have their own like mini version of Facebook, but it's not you, it's your soldier, and like that's how you see how you level up. Like if they do stuff like that, I could see it being a huge hit in Japan. But
is that seriously how they do Battlefield 3?
Yeah, and it actually, like at first whenever I saw it, I was like, this is the stupidest thing, and I was clicking around. And then the more I got into it, I was like, this is actually kind of brilliant. And I was looking around, and yeah, it keeps stats tracked of everything. You can post things on your buddy's wall. Basically, it's tied to your EA account. So, like, okay, say, like, Hexed is a guy that's at Plat sometimes, and, like, me and him were playing the beta. And, like, I would go, since I'm on his friends list, I would go onto his page and see that he was playing a game. And from his little Facebook page, I could just click join game. And
couldn't you just do that with Steam?
I mean, basically, this is Steam. The only thing is, you need to download the game through Origin, and then you need to load up this website. So whenever you launch Battlefield, it doesn't launch the game. It launches the Facebook ripoff. And then
I'm going to be honest, this is kind of stupid.
Oh, it's janky, but the thing is, there's no reason why this stuff couldn't just be a menu inside of the game proper, but there
is... Or a menu with Origin. Like, why isn't Origin just completely rip-off Steam?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but it's weird. This one's dedicated specifically for... I mean, even on that same page, you can put a donation to somebody's server. Like, it's kind of hard to explain. I might do an article about it whenever Battlefield launches, because it has a ton of functionality. But the functionality is really random. Like, I don't know why they added this stuff. I mean, it's not bad. It's just goofy. It's like, okay, for instance, there is no main menu of Battlefield 3. It doesn't exist. The game does not exist that way. Like, you don't load up the game and then go to, I want to play multiplayer, click. I want to play this, click. It's all through the website.
I'm willing to bet this is, like, the result of 9 or 10 committee meetings with people screaming, everybody loves browsers. People know how to use Facebook.
Yeah. And then the only thing is, what's terrible is people during the beta were complaining about bad performance because they had to fucking have Origin open, their browser open, always doing stats and cycling through them. And then,
can we trick people into thinking this is a Flash game?
That's kind of it. Because, okay, and here's the thing. It took me 10 minutes to realize that the game loaded up and that what I had to do is on the Facebook page, click open game. Because it was loaded and it was running in my taskbar. I was like, oh, there's a little Battlefield 3 guy. But I couldn't click on the icon. I had to click on the thing through the website. So I don't know if this is their weird thing of Punkbuster. But then it's even double weird because then they fucking have Punkbuster in the server. So I'm like, what is this middleman? What is this? What is this doing? So weird, man.
For EA's first big Origin test to prove to people why they should actually use this, this sounds really sort of inconvenient.
Yeah. I mean,
This is going to be super great when they put out Knights of the Old Republic.
Well, I was about to say, but honestly, for the way it is, with the Old Republic, this would make so much more sense. Because let's say you opened up your deal and then it just loaded up your guild page. You know, hey, sure, Here's all my guild buddies. Let's make a chat room. Haha, okay, yeah, let's go into the game. But it's not set up like that, right? As far as we know. I mean, I'm not in the beta. I'm crossing my fingers to get into it pretty soon. But yeah, it's... For Battlefield? Like, that's a bizarre game to attach it to.
No. I have to assume it's just, like I said, it's committee meetings of what they think people who play Call of Duty want.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely see that. But the thing is, who asked for it? Like, what? Oh, okay, what context?
That should be EA's slogan.
Yeah, who asked for it?
Who asked?
If it's in the game, it's, I guess, it's needed.
If it's in the game, you didn't want it.
Yeah. It's so bizarre. But, like, what context clues did they get in their conference room? Well, here's what we came up with, our crack team of top men.
Maybe it was like they had a list of like things that Steam did, and they said, well, Steam doesn't do this one thing that's highly inconvenient. We can make this a selling point. Brilliant.
Oh, so bizarre. But yeah, well, let's take a quick break. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about what we've been playing, kind of pick more of the mind of Mr. Ryan Bloom and see what's see what's going on with that. But yeah, we'll be right back, guys. Okay. Welcome back. Segment number two of what we're going to call the Blaze Cast. I've decided on it. Blaze, that's... And Blaze Hedgehog is Ryan Bloom's internet handle, if you want to type that into Google. I'm going to do it right now. See if there's any Blaze Hedgehog fanfic.
When Sonic Rush came out, did you, like, facepalm because now you had, like, a fanfic name?
A little bit, but... I've come to learn that since when I picked this name back when I was like 14 or whatever, there are a depressingly large number of Blaze Hedgehogs out there that are not me.
But you're the important one. Let's see.
Were you the first Blaze Hedgehog? That's an important thing.
I don't even know if I was the first, but...
You're the most famous, man. Your very first thing is Blaze Hedgehog's YouTube channel, Ryan Bloom on Twitter...
Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, and and pictures of the that band that's at Chuck E. Cheese of the Mechanical Bears. No.
For the hell of it, I started to Google image search Blaze the Hedgehog, and this is what came up.
Oh no.
Oh shit. By Dark Moon Wolf 1.
Wow. Does he have, like, chocolate sauce smeared on his face?
Yeah. Little mustache.
Is it a mustache?
Yeah, it's like a little mustachio.
What's
action.
What's going on with his chest? Because that looks like three different Sonic pictures that have been shoved in there.
Are you criticizing Dark Moon Wolf 1?
Yeah, I totally am. I think this may be a... You know what? I think this is a conceptual art. This dude had, like, a fever dream when he was on some really good coke, and this is what he saw in his head.
He saw a red Sonic with Santa Claus shoes.
He saw Satan, so he drew this.
Yeah. He saw the devil himself. Oh, my God. Ryan, we did an entire episode of this. Like, we would find our names like, let's look at Tyler the Hedgehog, and we... Oh. It was the dumbest radio we've ever done because it's all based on pictures that we were giggling at and no one else could see.
I've actually fallen behind on podcasts, but I think that was the last one I listened to.
That's it. That's all I need to know, that you completely given up on the spectrum of podcasts because of our terrible Sonic one. You're like, oh, Jesus. I'm slightly honored now that we've ruined your enjoyment of the everything radio. But oh man!
So while I have this this platform to speak on, I'm on a I am conversation with MCC. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, he put up a YouTube video of Mini Worlds Kaizo, Mini Worlds Mario, I think rather.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to find the HD video of that. His hard drive is busted. He thinks he may have like given copies of the HD version to members of like either the old GNT community or the God, what's in Dallas's community? 360 Arcadians.
Oh, the Arcadians, yeah.
Yeah. If any of those guys happen to be listening to this, try to get in contact with MCC because the drive that he had with that information is completely fucking gone, and there's some people who really want to put that footage online for him.
Oh, so, nice. Good deal.
Yeah.
That was actually the inspiration for Super Meat Boy's end of level results.
Yeah, that's true.
And they've actually come out and said that video was inspiration.
Which is amazing. And isn't he in the kind of the special thanks in Super Meat Boy? There's something like that. I think
this would require I get the special thanks of Super Meat Boy, which
yeah. I started playing it again last night because now I have a wired 360 controller, and I'm at the very first boss level, the very first one. I got A pluses on everything else. I was like, yeah. Went to the very first boss level, got right near the end, and died again. And I was like, fuck this trash. And then just haven't loaded it back up.
I got to about world 4 of hell. And that was just the point where I was like, literally, face in my palm, I can't do this anymore. Like, this game is asking too much of me.
Right.
Yeah. Super Meat Boy is definitely one of those games where when you know you've hit your limit, just stop. Because you're not going to have any more fun with this game.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Wes, Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll talk about what we've been playing. I'll start. Yeah, Dark Souls is... it's such a bizarre enigma of a video game. Like, I can't tell if it's a swan song to an era gone by whenever there was no DLC and games were just difficult. That's how you got your enjoyment out of them. You know, is, oh, I finally beat that game after 7 months of trying. I finally did it. I don't know if it's that mentality... or if these people are just insane. Like, I couldn't tell you.
Could be both.
I think there is. And I think it's more of column B than it is column A. Because, oh my god, that game is so... And to say it's really difficult is... yeah, everyone knows it's difficult. But the reasons why it's difficult, it's kind of hard to put into words.
Well, there's, like, difficult, and then there's just, like, obtuse.
Yeah, that's what this is, because it's not very clear on what anything is. The manual gives you no pointers at all for anything. It doesn't tell you why you need to be a human, why you need to unhollow yourself. The fact that, okay, there's a point in the game where you can teleport between the bonfires that you go to. And bonfires work as checkpoints, and this is something that that Demon's Souls did not have. Was the concept of checkpoints. So I was like, hey, this might actually be a little bit easier. What I didn't know is the bonfires reset the entire, like, all of,
oh yeah,
all of everything, the bosses, all of it. And not only that, but whenever you go back to, like, an old part of the game, they've changed it enough that you can't beat it. Like, you can't do the strategy because, you know, I'm a big proponent of MMO, like, game design. I've played them for decades. So I'm very much a guy that I don't mind sitting in one place and grinding for 30 hours because my brain's just used to it, you know. But this game, you can't do it. You just cannot do it. And the reason why is, okay, I got my level up. I got my new abilities. I got my new stats. I got my new armor. Got this awesome sword. Let me go back to the very beginning and see how much stronger I've gotten. You know, because, you know, it makes you feel like you've done a lot and you've accomplished something.
Right.
So I walked back in where the first boss existed, and the ground fell out, completely exploded, and I landed in a ditch of some sort. And then, awesome. Like, his dad or whatever it was came up and one-shotted me, killed me. I had to start all the way over. And this all happened within about 12 seconds. So there's no time to... And, okay, like we were talking about before the break, there's a certain excitement about having a system at launch time. This is definitely a type of game to where, okay, I think the strategy guide literally just came out today. And, yeah, so there's – the internet doesn't know what's going on. We're all talking about it like, yeah, I went back to the place and fucking fell in a ditch. And they're like, yeah, oh, that happened to me too. It sucked, huh? And I was like, yeah, but why did that happen? And like, I don't know.
Fucking it sounds like the game is trolling you.
It is. The whole game is. And it is very much a game to where you can't really get good at it. And the reason why I say that is you can get used to the way the game works, but random enemies can still one-shot you. And you just, yeah, guess what? You're dead now. You're like, oh, well, fucking fantastic. Thanks. That's what I wanted. There's something oddly addictive about it because you can feel yourself getting better. And even if you're not making progress that you want in the game, like as a story mode or, oh, I'm further along than I was, because there's many times,
and not just myself, but a lot of people online, where they'll start in the game and they'll end up further back than where they started.
Right.
So it's a very classic roguelike in design to where, okay, the only thing I can really equate it to is if people have played Diablo and like Diablo 2, it's basically if you go on hardcore hell ladder, which is hardcore is the hardest, one of the hardest difficulties in the game, and then hell mode is, well, hell is one of the more difficult parts of the game, but then hardcore mode is if you die, you're dead. Your character's deleted, gone forever. Like, it's like playing that with 30 other people that are trying to kill you. So that's the game. That's it. Like, if you're into that, by all means, have at it. And like, one of, you know, Hex, I mentioned him earlier, he's really wanting Dark Souls, and whenever I was telling him about the game, he thought I was guilty of trying to talk him out of buying it. Like, the way I was describing it, I was like, here's the game, right? The game is fucking, you got a thing, and then you wear this hat, and then you run around, and then you have a sword, but then if you hit the sword at a, yeah, and then if you hit the sword at a wrong time, you're dead. But then if you riposte, and then if you parry, you'll feel like a champ until you realize that right behind you someone backstabbed you. So every exploit you can do in the game against the AI can do against you. Oh, it's such a headache. So I have to be in a very specific mindset to play it. You know what I mean?
This sounds like the terrible game to play after you've had a long day.
Oh, yeah.
You just want to, like, chill out in front of video games.
No, it's the worst game you could possibly buy for that. Like, hey, here's a new video game. I want to buy it at the store. I got some trade-in credit. What should I use it on? I heard a lot about this Dark Souls. You will regret the day you were born.
Well, I'm eager to play it next week.
And here's the thing. It's good. The game is very good, but it's a very – I can't think of
– very specific definitions of the word good.
Well, exactly. It's a very specific definition of the word game.
Right.
Because there is a sense of accomplishment. I can tell you whenever you do something awesome, whenever you end up like rolling down a flight of stairs and then like as you're rolling down, you turn around and shoot a bow and arrow perfectly and headshot a guy that was running after you, like that type of stuff, unbelievable. You cannot get better water cooler moments, you know, than that. That is the best. But then right after that happens, like a hatchet will come and behead you. And you'll be like, oh, great. I had an awesome moment and it fucking got nullified. Because now I have to redo all this shit over again. I mean, if people are into it, more the merrier, but this may not be my type of game. I mean, but I still like playing it, which is so weird, because I'm just bad at video games. Like, we just talked about Super Meat Boy. I got to the fucking first boss, it gave up. I was like, nope, done here. See ya. Like, all these achievements kind of staring at me, but no. I'm just bad at games, but for some reason I like playing Dark Souls. But I couldn't tell you what was so endearing about it. Okay, as a side note, Imran, you just found a Ryan the Hedgehog picture, and he has a guitar here.
That was one of the many.
Ryan,
is this the one that made me laugh the hardest? So.
Do you feel, Ryan, that this is a proper? This is you in Sonic the Hedgehog form.
I don't know, because while I respect that everybody likes Guitar Hero band, it's never really been my style.
See, what's bothering me about this picture is he's clearly colored over the blue with more blue.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, this is a picture of Shadow, isn't it?
Yep.
So he took a picture of Shadow and colored him blue?
Yep.
That's Sonic.
Yeah.
It's like taking a picture of Luigi, making him shorter, and coloring him red.
Probably done.
Yeah.
Look at the mouth. The mouth he poorly deleted the original mouth.
I just
and then
like
added another mouth on top of it.
Yeah, it looks like he has a little bit.
That's the most metal guitar you can get without the guitar actually looking like an axe, because it's got a Grim Reaper on the neck and another Grim Reaper on the body. It's like, yeah.
It's the same Grim Reaper.
Yeah, it's totally the same Grim Reaper. Yeah, he totally just like copied that art over twice.
Every use
the double Grim Reapers, man.
Oh my god. That's
Double
phenomenal.
Reapers forever.
But yeah, Dark Souls is a video game.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm still eager to try
Souls.
It, because I've heard all this stuff about Demon's Souls, and I want to know if I'm that type of person that's going to be hopelessly addicted to this game.
Okay,
well, you know you can buy Demon's Souls for like $5 now, right?
I mean, I can, but I want to be in on the hype, too.
Yeah, I mean, because it's
part of the conversation.
Yeah, it's still early enough that it's still at the front of people's minds, and like, how far are you in Dark Souls? And it's one of those things that I just passed kind of, I think, the second boss. And I still don't know how that game works. Couldn't tell you. I mean, Giant Bomb did probably a two-hour quick look. And they kind of go over all the stuff kind of that I've said. And they're pretty good at the game, right? I mean, I'm getting okay at the game because I'm learning the fundamentals and things like that. But it's just one of those games that you can't know what's about to happen. I mean, you're going to be running along and you're doing okay. But then literally the building will fall on you.
Cool.
And then you're like, okay, I'll remember not to go down that stairwell.
But it can only fall on you once. You already triggered it. Go ahead and go down.
Right. Well, but I mean, what happens is you die and then it saves your game. So it has autosaves. So you can't say, okay, I'm going to explore and then just reset to my old save file. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
Everything you do is progress. Whether it means dying, whether it means...
Well, that's kind of like the way games used to be, like in arcade and with the with 8 and 16-bit. It's like, okay, you would die, and you would die constantly, and you'd think you're losing progress, but actually you remembered how to get through that section.
Right, correct.
Your progress was the fact you knew how to get through that, and the next time, hopefully you would actually be good enough to get through it without having to die.
Right, and my only complaint with it, and this might just be me and having terrible short-term memory, but I do remember the major stuff. Okay, this boulder falls down the stairs, so I'll dive out of the way. And then if I go down here, the building will collapse. And then if I go over here, then I'll have to, like, kill a chicken or whatever. All these just random things. But then I'll forget the really easy one. You know what I mean? I'll forget, oh, yeah, that guy's hiding, and he's going to stab me in the back. So I get money.
That's sweet.
Yeah,
that's the way like the platformers in the day would work, though, right? Because you'd remember how to get past the turn or the asshole robot who was like firing at you from across the screen, or you remember how to get through the mini boss. You'd fuck up on that damn platform that you managed to jump over like 5 times before.
Yep. Oh, that is that game. The Dark Souls.
This sounds like what you guys are describing. This sounds like Ghosts and Goblins or Ghouls and Ghosts, whichever one it was. The one with Arthur.
That's actually. Yeah. I didn't think about that, but literally think. If Maximo was harder and had instant death.
Speaking of which, was Maximo good?
Oh, yeah.
Should I look that down?
It was really good, man. And it's on PSN now. You can
there were two different ones, though, right?
Yeah. There was Ghost to Glory and then the Army of Zin.
Yep. And I think...
Are they both worth trying to find? Or one over the other?
God, what was the first one? Was the first one...
First one was Ghost of Glory, I think.
Yeah.
That was always my favorite one. It was a little bit easier because they were just kind of introducing you to the concept of, oh, here's Ghosts and Goblins in 3D. But yeah, Imran, that's actually a really good point. Just think of if you mix the hardest difficulty of Diablo with twice as hard as Maximo and I had instant death. That's Dark Souls.
Well, the way you guys were describing, like, you know, you'll remember all these hard things but then get wiped out by, like, one simple thing.
Yep.
Reminds me of, like, memorizing a level and then getting wiped out by one red Aramere.
Yeah, exactly.
I just forgot was there.
And that's seriously it. I mean, even some of the concept art looks the same. It looks a little bit more like 80s heavy metal album cover. But, it's still kind of the same deal. But, yeah, it's the game, for what it is, a game is probably the best of its kind. Especially if you like roguelikes. If you're a fan of, like, those old school, really tough, hardcore PC adventure games, go for it.
I hear people get pissed off when you try to compare it to roguelikes, though.
Well, I mean, this is a roguelike. There's no doubt in my mind that that's exactly what this is.
Well, people, like, they emphasize the random generation of roguelikes more than anything else. And I guess Dark Souls doesn't have randomly generated dungeons.
Yeah, but there's some random shit that happens in that game, I'll tell you that. Like, the fucking fall, the floor falling out. Like, that stuff that never happened before unless you went past a certain checkpoint and came back. Just bizarre stuff. Like, I need to see how big this strategy guide is. Because I want to see if it talks about everything. If it's like, okay, be sure you don't do this and you don't do this, but you do this.
Well, I remember, like, looking through the game facts just for, like, the first one. It wasn't so much, like, the walkthroughs for everything, but just telling you what the fucking stats do.
Yeah.
It's like, and then realizing that you didn't actually want to spend so many points in strength because there is diminishing returns. So if, like, your strength, I can't remember, let's say it was above 30, it really didn't make any sense to put any more points.
Correct.
Regardless of the class you're playing.
Yep.
The game had no intention of ever telling you this because the numbers were hidden.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, the same thing kind of works here. There's so many stats that you can level up. And certain items and certain hammers and things like that, you have to have a certain dexterity amount, a certain strength.
But what's weird...
But it won't tell you until you put enough points in. By the time you get those points in, that fucking hammer's probably not worth shit.
Exactly. And the really bad thing, the thing that just drives me up a wall is everything is like that.
Right.
So, hey, I found this awesome thing, but you can't use it. But, oh, guess what? Whenever you level up, I mean, the highest level you can get, because a level is a weird... You don't just, hey, I'm going to level up. It's like you're going to put your stats in, and then they do some weird fraction based on your stats, and that tells you what level you're at. So I think you can get up to level 765.
But there's like New Game Plus, right?
Yes. There's New Game Plus, and the incentive in that is, okay, better gear, harder enemies, a few more bosses, I think. I think there's a boss, and this is all happenstance because no one in their right mind is at this point yet, but there's only bosses that show up after you get level like 650. Yeah, it's one of those games that, okay, if you want to play through the game once, you're probably looking at about 25 hours, which is still, for an adventure game, not bad. If you want to actually play the shit out of this game, you're looking at about 1,000 hours, and that's not an exaggeration. Yeah, it's, I don't know who would, but more power to you.
I see people play Demon's Souls, like, from launch to now. Like, people who owned the game at the beginning were complaining about the launch servers maybe closing.
Yeah, exactly. And they even did their, because what was it, the 2-year anniversary or something that they did, where they had all the white, and then for Halloween everything goes to black, which means the game is like 4 times harder. Just madness, man. These people are nuts. But yeah, just been playing that, and I'm on a big Warcraft kick right now. So I reinstalled every Warcraft, because I guess I'm right at the point at the end of World of Warcraft. Like, I'm right at the end of Firelands, and I'm just getting ready to kill Deathwing.
So is that, like, the final high level in World of Warcraft right now?
Yep. It's the Firelands. You go, you kill Deathwing, and the Deathwing fight is supposed to be modeled after Shadow of the Colossus. because what you do is there's going to be a grip meter that you constantly have to spam certain buttons in order to keep at a certain level. God. But then also you're flying through the air, ripping armor off of Deathwing. I'm kind of excited because I want to see what they do. And WoW gets a lot of, and Blizzard gets a lot of flack for their raid content, but they're the only MMO company that's doing raid content. Like,
really?
Yeah, well, I mean, Rift has raids, Aeon has raids, but it's the same raids. And then if they have a different raid, they're basically copying a mechanic that WoW did 6 years ago. Okay. Like, but this one, people have to stand in different places. Like, you know, just really basic arcane, you know, archaic stuff. But yeah, this one is a. This one's going to be amazing because they're like redefining. They're redefining the way that you fight boss fights in an MMO. So it's super interesting, and that's why I'm always going to be kind of a Blizzard fan. Is yeah, they kind of reinvented MMOs, but they're not sitting on their laurels with it. They're actually reinventing themselves. It's pretty rad. But yeah, I just reinstalled Warcraft 2 and 3, and I need to find the original. I wish the Battle Chest...
You don't want to play the original. The original one's awful. That's just nostalgia.
Yeah, no, that's true. I want to load it up. I mean, Warcraft 2, the Battle.net edition, is still amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And Warcraft 3 is fantastic, but a lot of people just didn't like the hero units. But now since the MOBAs are a thing, like League of Legends and Heroes of New Earth... Now I think people are more used to that mentality, so...
Or even, like, the Dawn of War games were, like, they kind of... did the big hero.
Yeah, and that was Blizzard. Blizzard came up with that. Like, unbelievable, man. Like, it's an awesome company. But yeah, that's primarily it. I started replaying Knights of the Old Republic just to get ready for Old Republic. And I've succumbed to my geekery and started reading Star Wars books.
Oh, that's sick. Yep. Don't do this to yourself.
With Darth Bane, son.
No, it's just read the Timothy Zahn stuff and walk away.
Well, yeah, Heir to the Empire stuff is fantastic.
That's all you need to read. Maybe like the first comic series. What was it? What's the first comic series they did in the extended universe where they first introduced like the clones of the Emperor?
Oh, Dark Empire.
Yeah. Read that. Read the Zahn books and walk away because the rest of it's shit.
Well, no, I mean the Darth Bane stuff's not bad.
No. You're wrong.
Darth Bane's not bad, man. He made the rule of two.
I'm judging you both so hard right now.
He made the rule of two.
Timothy Zahn's an accomplished shredder. You cannot judge Timothy Zahn.
Did he write a Star Wars novel?
Yes, he
wrote. I'm judging Timothy Zahn.
Wait a minute. Harlan Ellison wrote a Star Wars novel.
Mm-hmm.
Still so, plenty of judging to go around.
You're just full up of a... You have a Santa Claus sack of judging just waiting to give to the children.
Fucking.
Oh, but man. But, you know, yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of... He jumps down with his lightsaber and cuts everything in his path. And you're like, eh, great. I would do that if I had a lightsaber. Like... So
there'd always be somewhere high up so you could jump down.
Right, yeah. I'm going to float down this time. No, but there's actually some cool lore. And, I mean, I'm not really that – I know quite a bit of the lore, but I'm not that guy that can recite, you know, what episode of Star Trek had whatever.
I was able to do this with Star Wars right until the expanded universe just started blowing up. Like, back when it was just – because the first three movies came out, and then there was kind of a lull for, like, most – until, like, the mid-90s. And then it started, like, back up again.
Yeah.
And, like, for the first, like, 3 or 4 years, I could keep track of this shit.
Yeah.
But now I – you have to be at an omega-level Spurg lord to keep track of
that. That's true, man. I mean, there's so much stuff. I mean, kind of the main plot points, though – this is honestly why I'm really excited for the Old Republic. The reason why they call this Knights of the Old Republic, like – 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 is this is apparently going to take place.
Because it took them 20 years to make it.
Not only that, but apparently it takes place of the arc right after Revan until like the end of the war.
Okay.
So that's a lot of fucking, that's a thousand that's like, years, man. That's a.
So is your character going, because you just play the same character, I'm going to presume.
Yeah.
That, so how. Because, I mean, if you make, like, a smuggler, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Han Solo didn't live, like, 1,000 years.
Right.
He was just a cool
It's runner. Interesting. That's why I'm curious about it. They said that the story mode... And here's the
thing. This sounds like bullshit.
This
is bullshit.
Well, the thing is, here you go. We're also talking about, you know, the trilogy, or the set of movies that has the little green man.
Greedo.
No, not Greedo. Fucking Yoda.
It's the little green man. Oh, okay.
It's a Greedo. God damn it.
It's the first one I thought of.
So. Well, your head's in the right place, then.
He's the first green man in the fucking movies, guys. Come on.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Oh, did you see what they did? Oh, complete side note. They fixed the old Han shot first deal on the Blu-rays.
Did they both shoot at the same
time?
They
didn't fix it.
Yeah.
They changed it again.
Yeah, but they both shoot at the same time, so they're both scumbags. That way I can live with it.
See, what I don't like, the reason that scene always bothered me, not just because it changes Han's character from someone aggressive to defensive, but it makes Greedo seem like such an idiot.
Well, Greedo was an idiot, man.
But he missed a shot at, like, point blank range.
Well, because he was scared of Han Solo.
That's the way the bounty hunters are in the Star Wars universe, though. They're always. Even Boba Fett is supposed to be, like, this enormous badass. Like, in the movies, he was kind of fucking useless.
Yeah.
Maybe laser rifles are just really hard to aim.
I guess so, because all those clones, man. Those stormtroopers can't shoot shit.
They joke about that in the Jedi Knight games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they should make a next-gen version of? That Boba Fett game. Not Boba Fett. It was Jango Fett.
Yeah, yeah, Bounty
Hunter. Who was actually you played as a bounty hunter.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so hoping.
If they were, if they were to do that again, like, they would probably have spent enough money to, like, make that an outstanding game.
They're reassembling the a Force Unleashed team after firing them again after Force Unleashed 2.
See, that's the series that's taking off and getting a lot of steam that I think is fucking awful.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Force Unleashed, man. I hate it. It's stupid.
It lacks all personality.
Yeah.
And if you're making a Star Wars game, you need personality.
For sure. I mean, as bad as Star Wars Galaxies was, my favorite Star Wars personal story about anything ever came from that game. And it was whenever I was training to be a bounty hunter, like, as my class. And then what they did is they made a PvP quest to where I had to go kill a Jedi. And he would hit one of his quests. He was in, like, a parade or something. Like, they were doing some big civil union thing. It was crazy, and it was in one of these...
Jedi's get married, Jedi's finally.
Hooray! But yeah, it was some big, you know, stampede of people and, like, food and drinks in the free market, that, like, that type of stuff. But then my quest was to go kill this actual player who was a Jedi already. And once I looted his body and picked up his lightsaber, I turned it in and got my bounty hunter's license. Like, that's fucking rad. Like, that is the coolest shit ever.
I would absolutely never turn in a lightsaber.
Well, as a bounty hunter, I can use it.
Oh, fuck no.
It's a laser sword. It doesn't matter if you can use it or not.
And it cuts through anything. You know how insanely useful that thing would be?
It's like a George Foreman grill with one side.
It's the George Lucas blade.
You need to get through a door, you got a lightsaber. As long as it's longer than your lightsaber, you're fine.
It's true. Just melt through that door.
Why are we talking about Star Wars?
Just take down the handle?
I don't know. We're on this kick. I like it. I'll do a whole fucking Star Wars podcast, you heathens.
I feel like we've done enough Star Wars content to make like 3 podcasts.
Yeah, that's true.
Imagine
the
ratings. Although I would like to just point out that as long as we're judging Star Wars authors, and this can be like the final Star Wars point, Terry Brooks has made a Star Wars book. So
I got no problem blaming Terry Brooks. Okay. Or judging Terry Brooks.
All right, hang on a second.
Blaming.
Right. There's plenty of blame to go around. I have no issue. I don't care if fucking Neil Gaiman's written a Star Wars book.
Oh, that'd be so kick-ass.
You would read that fucking
book. Oh, God, you'd read the shit out of that book. It should just be an adaption of Neverwhere. Like, just with Jedis.
Or American Gods, except all the gods are in fact just Jedis.
Yeah.
This could actually work. Yeah, I bet this has been done, though.
No, stop.
Let's ruin Neil Gaiman's legacy.
Of being absolutely fucking brilliant. All right. Next person. Ryan, do you want to go? Have you been playing anything super interesting?
Not really. Like, I play Left 4 Dead, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Play it with the whole crew. I replayed Kirby Superstar Ultra on the DS. Just finished that, like, a couple days ago. I've been looking for a Zelda game to play. So I ended up digging out a copy of Legend of Zelda Oracle of Seasons.
Was that the one with the primarily the combat or the puzzles?
That one's supposed to be combat.
Okay.
That's what I've heard, but there's also some really hard puzzles in it. And I don't know. it's hard.
Right.
It's a lot harder than I expected from a Zelda game.
Zelda games are weird like that, man. Sometimes I can really get into it, and then other times I just don't understand what I need to be doing.
Yeah. I was stuck on the third dungeon for almost a week.
What is the third dungeon? Like, what part did you get hung up on?
You get the rock's feather, which lets you jump. And I kept seeing these paths off to the sides of rooms that I couldn't figure out how to get to. And I did that thing where you were just constantly running around the dungeon in circles, going through every room, testing every wall to see if it's bombable. And I couldn't figure it out. And then finally, a few days ago, I remembered that there was a room with a button. And that now that I had the rock's feather, I could jump over that button and get to the door on the other side.
Yeah, those games, man. They give you a clue, but your clue is basically, hey, you just got this thing. Find out where to use it.
Yep.
I am excited as fuck for Zelda next month.
Skyward Sword? Yeah, man.
Yeah. Like that, for all the great games coming out next month, that's probably the one I'm going to dive in the hardest.
I will say that's the one game that makes me regret getting rid of my Wii.
They're cheap now. Buy one.
Yeah, but I...
Also, the black one should be coming out for this Christmas, I think, right?
Yeah, but that one, those are the new models that lack the GameCube support.
Right. Because I would literally just buy that system for that game. I mean, I played enough Super Smash before I got rid of my Wii that I wouldn't need to buy that. I might just go play it over at a buddy's house or something.
See, and this is no comment on you in specific, but I don't understand selling systems. Because right. There's always going to be something I want to play, even after the system is long dead.
Right, for sure. And with me, I think it's just one of those things that over the past few years, I've actually had to move quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess in my mentality, it's like, well, it'll be less stuff. And now with digital distribution, it's great because, like, I will re-download PSP games on the PSN just so I can kind of get rid of the UMDs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's not just, like, the system you got to transfer. You got to transfer the system, all the cords of the system. Right. Now you're talking about the Wii. You got to find something with this fucking sensor bar.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no knock on
for the sensor bar.
Because I love the Wii. It's just one of those that whenever I looked at how much I played it, in context with how much I played other stuff. Like, basically, it's my opinion that I probably shouldn't own any systems at all, because 99% of my game time is on the PC. So, I mean, that's true, because, I mean, I have everything from WoW to all 400 of my Steam games. Just outrageous, man. Like, my entire gaming library, it consists of PC games now. So, I mean, I'm glad I have the systems, because every once in a while I will get that hankering, you know what, I will play Sly Cooper. And I'll get to go back for that. But, yeah, it's just weird. But, yeah, with Zelda is a franchise. It is a system seller in the most genuine sense of the term, because that's how good it is. It's not one of those, well, people know about Zelda and people will buy it because of Zelda. It's like, no, people buy Zelda because it's fucking rad. Like, it's always been awesome.
Bad Zelda games are still pretty much better than most everything else.
I completely agree with that.
And there are bad Zelda games. There are Zelda games I probably wouldn't play again, but I fucking played them.
Yeah, for sure.
And I enjoyed them the whole way through.
And that's how with Ryan is with, like, Oracle. There was Oracle of Seasons and what was the other one?
Oracle of Ages.
That's right. That's the other one. Because I remember getting those. And then I guess I played those back-to-back with Minish Cap. And that's some good Zelda nastiness right there. Just all
you do know that, like, the Skyward Sword is basically cribbing Minish Cap.
Oh, man.
It's the same director, and he's putting a lot of the same items in.
Why'd you tell me this?
Because I want to see you suffer.
Why'd you tell me this?
What's the issue with Minish Cap?
It's really good. It's a very focused Zelda game.
Yeah, that's true.
Linear?
Linear, and the areas you're going through are not very big, but there's more direct it's comparable to Majora's Mask that way. Like, there's a lot more direct contact with NPCs than there is in other Zelda games.
Correct. You basically have time to stop and smell the roses, because it's all kind of given to you. Like, there's not a place as you go outside of the main context of the story. But, I mean, there's things in Minish Cap that were awesome. Like, the Minish Cap was the bird hat that made you shrink, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which was hilarious, because I remember the sound effect that hat make. Oh, it's hilarious. It was like some gastrointestinal penguin or something. It was like, and like, I'd look around, so I'd turn up the volume and, like, wait till people walked by. And then I'd hit that button, and the bird head would come up and be like, bah, bah, bah.
Did you download Four Swords, by the way, Wes?
Yes, I did.
That's kind of boring without multiple people.
It is, and it's kind of janky. Like, because you have to control, like, here's you and another version of you. And then you
get the feeling with multiple people it'll be really fun, but
okay, somebody explain online. This, because you have Four Swords for the GBA, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And you had it for the GameCube.
The Four Swords on GBA was a mini game in A Link to the Past that you could link up to four other Game Boys and play the singular adventure. It was maybe like 3 or 4 hours at most. Then there was Four Swords GameCube, which was an entirely separate game. It had better graphics, and I don't know if the GBAs were required, but you could use those to, like, separate off on your own.
Yeah, I think they were. Ryan's right.
And it was it had its own separate story. It used, like, it was kind of like Wind Waker from a top-down perspective in terms of graphics, but it was mostly just, like, really good-looking sprites.
Yeah.
And it never really picked up steam, I think, because of the GBA stuff. But it was, from what I hear, it's actually a pretty fantastic game. I own the Japanese version. I've never played it.
Cool. Let's see, anything else, Ryan, besides...
I think that's kind of it. Just mainly feeling really bad about how big my backlog has gotten.
Well, yeah.
You and I have been getting into, like, an arms race of terrible games lately.
Yeah, we have.
And I think that's going to culminate at some point, because we've been batting around the idea of maybe for charity or for Nitrobeard or something, live streaming dual streams of Sonic 2006.
I just love he's already exhausted and it hasn't started yet.
I actually went out and bought the game just in preparation. I was like, you know, if I'm going to be playing bad games for people's entertainment, I might as well just go, pardon the pun, whole hog.
Yeah, man, just go and buy one of those, like, 40 packs of Natty Light Just get thrashed the entire time.
It dulls the pain.
Oh, God. I don't envy you guys a bit. I'll be watching. Trust me, I will be watching. But, oh, my God.
But, yeah, if we ever, like...
remember it by buying cheap pizza. Buying some Little Caesars pizza. Just stack up on that. Just, you know, just completely feel
awful. Papa John's won't actually deliver to a house with Sonic 2006 in it.
they look through it, and they knock on the door, and they're like, oh.
But, yeah, if we ever get details of that, like... we'll probably do it after Halloween.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Once that happens, we'll announce it somewhere.
Oh, it'll be a lot of fun. Because, yeah, you both of you have amazing kind of live stream stuff. I mean, I live stream stuff, but it's primarily MMOs. So I do have a little bit of a fan base, but it's all very dedicated. Like, you should have got this item whenever you... And I'm like, oh, God damn it. So you guys are doing it the right way, actually, having big chat rooms and stuff like that. But, yeah, whenever we get kind of word on what you guys want to do, we'll post it up on... Nitro Beard main site and all that good stuff. So we could do something. We could do it for the kids. You know what I mean?
Speaking like of the live streams, people have been daring me to take particularly bad games. So I put Spider-Man Edge of Time and played through the whole game in about 2 sittings. That's not a good game. Jesus, and that's God. All the more disappointing because Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions is a good game.
Right.
Like the theory I've heard from a friend who is close to Beanox is he said they were tasked to make the Amazing Spider-Man game next May, and they've been working on that for the last year. But they had to break off part of their team because Activision really wanted, not necessarily wanted, but Marvel's contracts demand they have a Spider-Man game every year.
Hmm.
To explain why you had, like, this game where, like, obviously you want to be, like web swinging and, like, be in an open space, and it's inside a bunch of, like, Quake 2 corridor rooms.
Yeah, pretty much. And I don't really mind necessarily the lack of mobility. It was an incredibly tedious game, and there's points where they were obviously padding out for length, like beat these 35 enemies. Half of them are immune to your punches most of the time. And then that room will clear. Or they had these free-falling segments, which are in Shattered Dimensions, but they become the most incredibly bullshit things because you can't control them at all. It's asking you to move through these tiny corridors at mock speed, or sometimes you'll just auto die if you're not moving fast enough.
Ugh.
There was the one segment where like you were doing the free fall segment onto the elevator where spoiler alert, Mary Jane was like falling to her death, and like you would land on it and you would die. And the game wouldn't tell you why you were dying, and you did this like 5 fucking times, and just one time you decided, okay, you made it.
Yeah.
There was
a prompt to shake the Wiimote, which I did in the same way I shake the Wiimote for every other shake the Wiimote prompt in that game. And it just wouldn't work, so I'd shake it faster and harder, and that's much more awkward than I thought it was going to be. I do that, and eventually it just works. And then it does it, like, 4 more times. So every time this checkpoint after this elevator prompt, I have to keep dying at the next one.
Ugh.
Until it decides it works. So don't buy Edge of Time. If you bought it yet, you haven't opened it, return it. It's not a good game. Maybe the amazing game in May is going to be better. But, I mean, we'll see. And another game I was playing is I was asking for suggestions, and everyone suggested Cabela's Dangerous Hunt 2011.
Of course they did. Of course they did.
I thought that was a hunting simulator, but it's apparently like Call of Duty with crazy animals.
Oh, that sounds kind of wrong.
Yeah.
Like, the first mission, your guy gets dropped from an avalanche into an abandoned church, and a bunch of wolves attack you. And you have to fend off the wolves until you can break open a gate to go get your shotgun.
Sounds like Stalker.
Now, by a bunch of wolves, he means like 20 fucking wolves.
Oh, yeah. God. Like, just wolves just coming in, all monster closets of wolves.
Now, the thing gets me about the Cabela Dangerous Hunt is, I can imagine like an area roughly the size of the map that you're going through, and maybe it would have one wolf.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, in real life, you'd have one wolf. I could believe, like, one wolf would have that area. This thing has, like, 5,000 wolves and,
it's
like,
conglomerate.
Bears and, like, yeah, and, like, birds out the ass and just, and, like, cougars. I think there was, like, a dozen cougars in that area.
Just laying around, and they'd attack you if you ever got anywhere close to them. So I'd have to, like, sit there and snipe and then shoot it with a pistol and then move on to the next one. And I think it was like at least 15 of them.
Oh my god.
Now, have you got to the Africa part yet?
Yeah, I got to Africa. And Africa is funny because at the beginning of it, you, your father, and a guy named Umbeki are on a boat that gets attacked by a hippo. And so you get stranded, and you're wandering until you can find your father. And there's like these hippo QTEs that are, as far as I know, cribbed from Arkham Asylum in the croc fight. Because you'll just be walking along, and he's like, "Rawr!" And you have to like hit the right QTE moment to dodge out of the way.
This hippo is an asshole, because he chases you through this entire level.
Pretty much, and there's like a billion gators, and I know the gators are going to attack me. So I'm like, from the perspective of somebody watching out of context, it's me just walking around with a shotgun shooting gators who have done nothing to me yet.
Right. Yeah. This is PETA will be knocking on your
basically,
door any moment now.
Basically, he's depopulating Africa and completely ruining the environment.
Yeah, I'm done doing untold ecological damage to this ecosystem.
What I think the Cabela's Dangerous Hunt game might be, it might be like a backdoor fight. Anti-global warming, like Screed, because they're showing us what could happen if, like, they're, like, I don't know, if like environmentalists got their way and like maybe like Nature Conservancy got its way, like the Earth would be populated like
right.
up the ass.
Government would
with,
be
like,
run by
animals.
Different.
Yeah.
What was that game last year that had you like shoot intruders coming into your home? It was Splinter Cell, right? Like there was a flashback where like some guys were going to rape your wife, so you. Oh, it's good that you had a gun.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Like, it was a conviction, right?
Yeah. This is what Cabela feels like to me. It's like, animals are out to kill you. Get big guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, go buy them today.
Kill the animals.
Because you literally you must be giving out the pheromone of the gods for every animal to be attacking you like this.
Okay, does it start off, like, does the loading screen start and it shows, oh, here's a company that made it. But then it does it give that winners don't do drugs screen?
It does not.
Oh.
It has a guy who sounds a lot like Steve Blum giving like this speech about like, I'm the best hunter in the world, and my father hasn't talked to me for 10 years. And it's like, oh, there's a very involved family drama story in Cabela's Dangerous Hunts.
That's bizarre. Like, who, once again, what meeting happened to where they're like, you know what Cabela's needs? Fucking narrative.
This game apparently sells incredibly well. Like, so much so that they've been able to launch against Halo for the last couple of years.
Oh, that kind of puts it into context. It's either How the Mighty Have Fallen with Halo, or like, what is Cabela's doing?
If Walmart could make games, it would be Cabela's Dangerous Hunt.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, the amazing thing about the thing is, like, you think of all the like plastic instrument like games that disappeared over the years, like the rock bands and shit. You go into, like, Cabela's section, and they got, like, guns. And there's, like, four or five different fucking Cabela's guns. You got the shotgun, you got, the like, the laser rifle from Cabela, you got the Cabela's, like, fishing rod. That's where this has all survived. And apparently they can sell it, because it's a huge section full of just Cabela's and hunting shit. So apparently
I was looking for Move games on Amazon the other day, and apparently there's a Cabela Move game that has an attachment that is literally a sniper rifle with a Move controller at the very end.
Yeah.
It's the most ridiculous fucking thing I've ever seen.
And by ridiculous, we mean fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Depends on what color the Move ball is, I suppose.
Wait, and okay, yeah, so okay. I'm pretty sure some of those controllers only work with, like, Dangerous Hunts 2011 and 2012, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if it's not just a genuine hunting game, like, if it's just not one of those, hey, we're going to go park our Jeep and we're going to stare out into the woods until we see a deer walk by. Like, whenever there's that gun makes sense. What makes more sense than if it's Call of Duty? Like, can you imagine actually having to change out a gun? Like, okay, I'm going to pull out my sniper rifle, and then you pick up the actual big fucking sniper rifle, and then you have to, like, aim it around?
That'd be great. I think that'd be an amazing idea for a game.
That would actually work for Kinect. I mean,
yeah.
They wouldn't do it.
No, you can't right. Because you couldn't use, like, stuff for Kinect. But,
wasn't that one of the things they said they were, like, pimping when they first revealed it? Like,
yeah,
you could actually scan an object and use that object in the game?
Yeah, like, you could scan, like, your skateboard, and you can be on a skateboard in the skateboarding game. But then Microsoft said, no, we don't want to, like, have people use peripherals because we want you to be the controller. And the real problem with that was because the camera is cheap as fuck, so the resolution sucks.
Right.
So, I mean, they can't even do fingers on that fucking thing.
So
they can now, I think, which is weird. Like, how do you launch without finger support?
Yeah. And a full body thing.
How do you launch without games? And how do you go for like 8 months without games?
And then 6 came out this week.
Yeah.
Like, who planned that? Like, did all the Kinect people, like, get a party together and be like, yeah, let's just all launch our games 1 week. No one cares.
I think what happened was, like, Microsoft, like, showed developers the SDK and the hardware, and developers were like, fuck you guys. Nobody's going to buy this shit. Nobody bought the Wii games after the first couple years. Who's going to buy this Kinect shit? And, like, idiot consumers decided to buy, like, a million Kinects. And the developers were like, shit, we got to make some money. Let's all release this shit at the same time. And because this is shovelware shit, they all managed to release it inside of 6 months. So here you go. Here are your Kinect games.
I'm sorry, but the Michael Phelps game is hilarious.
I didn't see the quick look on that.
It's like fucking F-Zero menus.
Yeah. Oh, it's so bizarre.
Crazy guy screaming at you.
Push!
Yeah, full.
It's the menus from F-Zero and the announcer from Wave Race.
Reminds me, the Hulk Hogan game came out this week. That...
Yeah, it did. Hulk Hogan's, like, main event, I think.
Yeah, where you hit people with chairs.
No, you get hit with chairs, and you block them.
Yeah, you got to be able to block your chair, otherwise you get a concussion, and then you kill your entire family.
Or you could take him like a champ, like Mick Foley does. Fucker has his hands in his pocket.
Two siblings, like, kill each other because of this game.
Oh, yeah. And even with the warning, don't try this at home, it's like, well, I'm literally trying this at home right now.
But you are the controller.
Yeah, like, you have to do this.
Well, the important thing is, remember, is like, the WWE is saying, don't try this at home, we don't want to get fucking sued. No. But Hulk Hogan, who's, like, flat-ass broke because he just got divorced again, he needs his money.
Yeah. Hogan apparently
knows
best. You'd
think that guy would know how to sign a prenup by now.
Yeah, you'd think. The saddest part is Ric Flair's story, because he's been married, like, 5 times. His wife constantly leaves him with no money. He doesn't ever pay his bills. He's like hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. Despite the fact that he basically kept like 3 separate wrestling promotions like from going under.
Yeah, like multi-billion-dollar companies.
Yeah, he didn't save a damn dime.
He's not part of the 1%, is what you're saying, Mark Bradshaw.
I don't know what percentage he is because he keeps getting money somehow. I
he's
read
like
this
40% body fat now.
That's where he keeps.
Yeah. But it's because he's fucking ancient. But yeah, somehow he keeps getting money, and he never pays the money back. They have to know. He spends like $5,000 a week, like eating out with his new wife.
Damn.
Nobody.
Eating
knows
out with his new wife.
Oh,
he said.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cha-ching.
Because if he's spending $5,000 doing the other thing, then I don't think he's married.
Ladies.
He calls his wife, but sadly,
that's a lot of Chick-fil-A sandwiches. Is all I'm saying.
Oh.
Hey. Watch out! All right. Who wants to go next on what they've been playing? Mark Bradshaw.
Sadly, I've not been playing anything this week.
Hey. No. We just become a Howard Stern radio show, just automatically like,
Hey, yo. I've been playing a little bit of Shadow Colossus for a couple of days. That's like, I'm just waiting for Sunday, because that's when the fucking Toys R Us sale finally starts.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
Unfortunately, it's like, there's one Toys R Us in this fucking city that I know how to get to. The other ones are like in like Queens, they're like way the hell out where I'm not going to like bother. It literally take like 2 hours to get to them by subway. So the only one I can really get to is the big one in Times Square, which is the one which has like the Ferris wheel in it.
They actually have a giraffe named Jeff.
They have it's kind of sad because he's about dead, but anyway.
He just lays down all day.
See, that seems like the one people will be going to Sunday morning to pick off all the good stuff.
Yeah. That's the problem. I got to get in there, and I can't really wait Tuesday for like Arkham Asylum to come out because everything else is going to be gone.
Right.
So I have to get in there Sunday. So.
So what?
I have had success before with previous Toys R Us sales, like showing up when it's really busy with a game that I didn't really want. Be like, oh, my nephew already had this game. Can I just straight exchange it for something else?
You can't do that this year because they fixed it. I actually watching on Cheap Ass Gamer where they were talking about it. It's like, if you want to bring back one of the 3 games this year, you have to like bring back the receipt and all 3 games, and then they'll give you the money you spent on all 3 games.
Right.
So
that's
there's absolutely no way to work it this year. The register doesn't work that way anymore.
So what is the deal? It's a buy two, get one?
Yeah.
Okay.
On anything in store. Now, weird thing except is...
Except like gaming cards, which I discovered last year. Like Xbox Live point cards, they don't count.
Hmm.
Yeah. Should be great. But it's just trying to figure out like the politics of the way Toys R Us like stocks its games is kind of weird. Because I'm thinking, oh, I'll get Catherine. But even though like Toys R Us will sell Catherine online, they won't sell Catherine in stores.
Right.
Yeah, what's weird is I can't get Gears of War 3 for store pickup, even though they sell it in stores. But I can get Dark Souls for store pickup.
I knew that as well. And like the stores in this area, they'll stock like Dark Souls for the 360, but not for the PS3. It's like what kind of weird? Who's running this organization? It's kind of silly.
Well, we're at a point now to where basically all the only reason like a Best Buy or a Toys R Us physical location exists anymore is to be an advertisement for their website.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's also they're like they want to sell me these three games, but they also want to sell me like. I don't know, some god-awful, like, controller or some shit. And, you know, if I was actually the actual target audience who should be going to the Toys R Us, I'm sure I'd be leaving with, like, 5,000 other things because of the fucking kids.
Correct, yeah.
And I always feel bad going into the Toys R Us as, like, the mid-30s single guy. I always convinced the moment I walk into that fucking store, someone is watching me.
Yeah.
Someone knows. You don't have kids. You should be in this store. You don't walk right. I always have like a cover story. It's like, I'm going to buy something for my nephew, right? Yeah, we heard that shit before, and I'm going to go to jail as soon as I step out of the store.
Right, there's just a...
Swarm.
Yeah.
There's just a SWAT team outside.
So you have to have the route marked out. You just like walk straight out, down the escalator, to the video game section, get the stuff you need, and then come back out, and hope to God like no parent or anything like sees you. Otherwise, it'd be like Invasion of Body Snatchers, where they like point at you and just scream.
Right.
And it's not their own. And it's child molester, get him! So
get this man!
It doesn't happen. I know this is irrational as hell, but that's always the feeling I get when I walk into a Toys R Us or any like toy section of like a department store. Just like I fucking know I'm on camera. I'm not walking the right way. I don't have like that crushed sense of soul that that parents have where they just give up on life.
Right.
I still have like some optimism about about the future. I still have some money, unlike an actual parent, so they can tell that.
Yeah. So. You should just get like a crushed velvet robe and wear it as you walk through the deals.
I'd wear a towel.
Yeah, have a bubble pipe.
Especially showered.
Yeah, I'll put your hair slick back, just a bubble pipe. Be like, yes, yes. Great selection. Top choices.
Beautiful children you have here today.
Keep up the good work.
But the thing about Catherine, they won't sell Catherine, but they would sell like all of the Dead or Alive Extreme video games, right? And those were basically just had like the Dead or Alive girl is just like basically masturbating against a tree. Yeah. I know, I played that game to death. That's what they did.
All achievements unlocked.
Yeah, it's like there's no way there's anything worse than Catherine than that was in the first Dead or Alive Extreme game. But you're not going to sell Catherine. You're going to sell like Gears of War, where I can take a like a chainsaw, put up against another human being, and chainsaw that person in half. But I can't see this chick's boobs. Kind of. I don't even think there's like real nudity in Catherine, is there? It's like
none. Not actually any, like, you see an ass occasionally.
Yeah,
that's the worst of it.
But, yeah. I mean, I can, like, in Call of Duty, I can take a gun, and you're like, hey, your head's there. There's a shotgun. Now your head is, like, in 1,000 pieces. And sell that to the kids. Can't sell an ass to a kid. So.
That's right.
Whatever. I get my fucking games.
Because until we start making more people, we got to kill the ones we already got off. That's what I'm saying.
Seriously.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I gotcha.
That's the Cabela's way of thinking.
Well, Cabela's way of thinking is kill the animals, because the animals will kill you.
But at the end of the day, man, we're all animals to the man.
Yeah.
We're part of that 12%. I just want to start making up percentages and saying that we are part of the 17%. And people are like, yeah. Wait, what's the 17%? And be like, I don't know. The percent that puts mayonnaise on burgers instead of ketchup?
The percentage of lactose intolerant.
Right. People from Hungary. Just the lactose intolerant people from Hungary. Like, that's my percentage. But I'm not from Hungary, so I would be disingenuous. Get me in a lot of political trouble.
Well, you could say it really fast, and you could say you're hungry.
Ooh. That's a good out.
They say, well, yeah, everyone's hungry because of poverty in America.
We're all hungry, man.
We're all hungry for justice.
And knowledge.
Yeah. Justice knowledge.
Oh, man, justice knowledge.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's about it. Do we have any other news items? We kind of went over the beta stuff before we get out of here. Let's see. Everyone, of course, go check out tssznews.com. Check out Ryan Bloom's work.
Read his Sage reviews, which are like independent Sega games. Are games based on Sega licenses, I guess.
They're fan games.
Fan games, yeah. They are fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome stuff. And go to his YouTube channel. We'll probably have that in the show notes, just so you can read the amazing Sonic 2006 stuff. Because that is, whenever I think of the internet, I think of that. I think of someone rationally putting forth reasons why they don't like something, and then everyone else be like, it's not for you, even though you're a reviews editor on a Sonic the Hedgehog fucking website. It's like, if it's not for him, who is it for? Like, oh, I love it.
Which you can just have, like, alternate reviews, which is basically, I love this game!
Oh, yeah.
And then you can have your review.
Didn't EGM do that back in the day? We're going to have 12 people review this game.
No, they had, like, a review and then the second opinion, which is usually just, like, mirroring the opinion.
Well, I mean, like, old school, where they had the grid, and you saw, like, the number on the background.
Oh, yeah, it was like Famitsu, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah, out of that. And they didn't give it a total score, but everyone had to review it out of 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you'd always get that one guy, like, Crispin Boyer gives it a 9. And then, let's see, who else was there? Dan Chu gives it a 8.5. And then Mark McDonald gives it a 3. And you're like, what? Whoa, Sushi X gives it a... Who was Sushi X?
Of course, you only listen to Sushi X.
Oh, yeah,
it's
sure.
The only opinion you need to follow. That and Nick Rocks. Did you follow those guys? You'd be fine.
Oh, now I remember.
Shadows, man.
Yeah. Now I'm remembering all the GamePro characters they made.
Oh, yeah.
All those fucking GamePro characters. Like
Scary Larry.
Fun Factor! Oh, we need to get one of those drawings of the Fun Factor guy. Like, because the ones where it was rated like 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 4 or whatever, he had a thumbs down and looked really grumpy. Like, he didn't eat the right breakfast cereal or something. And his hair...
That's the only thing you really need to worry about.
Yeah, his hair was even droopy whenever it was a low review score. It's like he didn't even bathe himself. He was, like, just so ashamed of this bad game that he didn't even wash himself. But then if it was a 4.0, then his hair was going bonkers and it looked like he was high on PCP.
Yeah.
I miss old GamePro. Just for that dumb, shitty... Like, be like, oh, what's the fun factor? What's the production values on this one? They came up with that term, didn't they? Production value? Which really doesn't mean anything.
Well, they would have, like... It was always bullshit, because they would have... Like, graphics and sound, and then some, like, completely arbitrary thing, like... Playability, which what the fuck does that even mean? Right. And then at the end of it would have like a score which is completely independent of the other scores. Yeah. It's like, why did I sit through this other shit? It's like, just, you know?
And they
wasn't an average.
They'd review stuff like Prison Tycoon.
Yep.
You're like, dang, what is this? But yeah, I think we can call this a wrap. It's episode number 57. Thank you guys so much. And thank you very much, Mr. Ryan Bloom, for being on.
Proud to be here.
Yeah, and we'll get you on much more often, as much as you're willing to be on. So,
well, I'm very willing to come back.
Your body is ready. So we will once again, everyone go visit tssznews.com. Check out Ryan Bloom's work. If you just put in Blaze Hedgehog, you can find them on Google. 65,000 results for Blaze Hedgehog, by the way. Wait, let me put a space. Blaze, space, hedgehog. 3 million results. Some of these might be kind of terrifying. Oh, wait. Let's see. Okay, no, never mind. I was like, I saw YouTube. I was like, incomplete without Blaze. And I was like, nothing is complete without Blaze. So, all right, guys, we will see you next week. Brian should be back next week. We don't know where Tyler is. He's kind of off running around, but
We should have a full cast, and but yeah, we might have some more special guests and stuff lined up. But yeah, thank you once again, Ryan. It was a pleasure. Everyone out there listening, keep an eye out on all the Sonic fan stuff, all that goodness. But we'll see you guys next time.